You're listening to the Robert Hartley Games Master Podcast. The following is a recap from my interactive tabletop role-playing game series, Twitch Tales, where the chat on my Twitch channel acts as a hive mind collective to control the actions of the main character. This recap acts as a summary for anyone wishing to jump into the story from this point, or simply as a reminder for the story this far. Enjoy! So Twitch Tales, welcome to episode 65. The story so far. Apis, a Hilldwarf ranger, just around young adult age for a dwarf, therefore around early 50s, has found themselves in a frontier town called Shadridge. They helped Shadridge with a goblin problem. The goblins had killed one of the townsfolk and stolen a bunch of things. Apis tracked them down and recovered the items and slayed the goblins in the process. Having endeared themselves to the town and passed themselves off as a town guard undercover, Apis was tasked with going after the rest of the goblins. Apis disappeared into the woods to the north of Shadridge, a forest known as the Fair Woods. And while in the Fair Woods, Apis stumbled across a bunch of elven towns known as the Four Sisters. These four elven sister villages each have something to offer to one another. The southernmost one, Helwyrin, is the town of hunting and tanning and leatherwork. The easternmost one, Dolbin Illuad, is responsible for cultivation and crops, and also the production of a magical flower called the Prin flower, which can be cultivated and turned into potions and magical ointments and such. The northernmost town Apis has not yet been to. They are the most xenophobic, and they are responsible for the protection of the other towns. They are diviners and soothsayers. Arachel is their name, and they're assholes, let's put it politely. The westernmost town is a mining town called Mwynglofa, and is run by mostly drow, and have been relatively friendly to Apis. Having introduced themselves to these towns and helped them in various ways, Apis then set off back to Shadridge. Having been away for a few days, Apis was promptly caught up on what they'd missed in Shadridge while being away in the elven villages, namely the death of one of the townsfolk, an elderly man, and the prompt weakening of another of the elderly townsfolk, an apothecarist named Edith, who's very suddenly taken unwell and lost a bunch of her strength. Apis upon investigating these things, discovered that they were the work of a necromancer, a young woman called Sally, who had been posing as the town's weaver while also practicing some necromantic magic in the background. She had sapped the energy of the elderly folk until they'd got too weak and died, and then upon dying she had harvested their shadows to rise again as undead to further sap the strength of other members of the town. And gradually one shadow became two, became four, and she was growing her army in this way. Thankfully Apis intervened when she only had four shadows and drove Sally out of town in a furious battle, gave chase to Sally as she fled into the Fair Woods, and unfortunately lost track of her, so she got away. Apis went back into the town of Shadridge and was given a letter from the Knights of Kvosna, the local town guard, and told, can you deliver this to the town to the south, the established town to the south of here called Fondurg, to let them know of our troubles recently, since you're a town guard and all that. Makes sense. By this point they'd discovered that we weren't actually a town guard, arrested us, and we'd already made good with them. We were given this letter, set off south, and encountered a manticore-led bandit ring that were ambushing people coming to or from Fondog and Shadridge. So we dealt with the bandits, we killed the manticore, we freed the bandits that were in indebted servitude to the manticore, and they were very grateful. The ones that survived the fight were very grateful. We put them to work in Shadridge, gave them proper jobs, and then headed off south to Fondog again. On our way, we got attacked by half-dragon rats and half-dragon squirrels. These green-scaled beasts of the forest that breathed poison onto us. We arrived at the town of Fondog, a walled town to the south of Shadridge, and warned them of these dragons in the nearby forest. They took the warning very seriously as a bad omen that there is probably a green dragon nearby. Unfortunately, that omen was proven to be true when the green dragon attacked the town of Fondog, landing just outside of the city walls and saying, demanding that their champion be brought out, the one that slayed their children. Another fighter, another knight of Kvosna, took your place in heading out to the north of the town to answer to this dragon, only to be ambushed and attacked by the dragon's half-dragon children. Tao Chu was killed and dragged away, and the town was left with the demands of bring out another of your denizens every dusk until I feel like you have paid your debt to me. We felt pretty bad about having killed some of his half-dragon children and kind of incurred the wrath of this dragon, so we offered to be bait. Unfortunately, the bring out one of your denizens at dusk was a ruse by the dragon in order to distract the town to the north, bringing out an offering, while he attacked from the south, taking another offering. He started kidnapping people every day. We started fighting back with a reconnaissance mission. Apis and a newfound druid friend called Briar set off on a reconnaissance mission into the forest to learn what we could about this dragon for a counterattack. Unfortunately, we fell for another trap, fell into a pit, and were captured by the dragon. He was going to mutilate us, take one of our hands, and let us leave as a message to the rest of the town. But we managed to convince him that we are more worth to him alive and intact. So he left us intact and kept us as a prize instead. We were taken back to his vegetative dome, under which he was keeping all of his other living treasures, mainly elves from a small treetop village. They were working for him to try and create it wasn't an antidote, it was a poison of its own. They were working with him to try and alchemically create a potion that would give somebody vulnerability to the poison effect. We learned from that he was trying to find a weakness that he can exploit in his father, another green dragon, the green dragon that destroyed Apis's home village. So Apis and Lucifreak, the green dragon, had a shared enemy in Unguhef, Lucifreak's father. Apis tried to leverage that to their advantage on more than one occasion, trying to earn favour with Lucifreak and win him over with flattery and compliments and doting on him as the god that he deemed himself to be. And it seemed to work. More than once Apis was caught in a lie, but Lucifreak kept Apis alive all the same, being that he found there was to be use in Apis's skills as a Horizon Walker Ranger. Someone who is inherently born with knowledge of the planes and planar travel and portals and such. Lucifreak thought he could use Apis, and so he kept you alive. He kept you alive long enough for you to discover another portal. You found a portal to the plane of air and jumped through it, thankfully tied to a rope, discovered that it is literally nothing but air for everywhere around, and if you hadn't tied yourself to a rope, you would have been falling infinitely, it seems. You managed to get back to the elven village where you were being held captive and devise an escape plan. This plan involved another of the captives, a druid named Charlie, getting himself hunted. He was released from captivity to be hunted by you and Lucifreak, and thankfully you got to him before Lucifreak did. You devised a strategy to take out the Dragonborn guards and then make your attack on Lucifreak. You had bought enough time that the Royal Cross, a King's Guard section of the army, had arrived to fight the dragon as well, and you launched a two-pronged attack with the Royal Guard coming from one side and you coming from the other, betraying Lucifreak, stabbing in the back, showing him your true colours finally. And in a very tough and very dangerous fight, having lost a couple of allies along the way, you managed to slay Lucifreak as he escaped, as he fled to take vengeance another day. You managed to take a couple of very long shots on him and hit him right through the back of the head. You harvested some parts. You harvested some parts from Lucifreak's body, including some scales, some hide, some blood. And then you had that hide hide tanned and turned into leather braces. That is ongoing work for you at the moment. And then once they are turned into dragon hide braces, you might be able to get them enchanted into whatever you want them enchanted into. The more powerful the enchantment, the more it will cost you. Thankfully, you are flush with cash at the moment because you managed to find the dragon's hoard and take a whole bunch of it. You used some of that wealth to help rebuild some of the damages caused to Shadridge. Fondog, rather. And in replacing some of the things of Fondog, you also helped them with a resurrection ritual to reincarnate one of the fallen folk, a wizard woman called Vala. You then took a few days of downtime to level up and to take a multiclass into fighter, learning some unarmed fighting technique, as well as second wind. Then you headed north back to Shadridge. It had been a while since you visited Shadridge, having successfully delivered the letter that they sent you with. They probably expected you to return pretty promptly. As you got back to Shadridge, you found that there were no pressing plot hooks happening in Shadridge. No, the town wasn't on fire and the necromancer hadn't returned, it seems. So you headed through Shadridge and back into the Elven village to pick up a couple of things that you'd left there. As you picked up your enchanted displacer beast cloak from someone that you'd left it with to get tanned and enchanted, you discovered that the elves were having slight problems to the north. In the north of the Fairwoods, there is a section of much more wild forest that they call the Great Expanse. Coming from the Great Expanse, there is a sense of unease. There are monsters roaming and there are creatures attacking. You discovered that your friend, a human man called Mosh, had an affliction, a curse, if you will. He is cursed with an affliction that makes him into a werefox. Every full moon, he is forced to transform into a fox-like creature, and whether or not he can control it is down to a number of different factors. You've learned from Mosh that his past includes about 7 or so months of being a werefox. He was transformed deliberately by a wandering hermit, or so he called it, of the forest. He used to be from somewhere in the Great Expanse, a small village. He was attacked by this stranger and turned into a werefox, and he went through a very great ordeal of pain and suffering in order to transform fully before he was forced to embrace the curse and live with it full time. So he can turn at will, but when he has full control of it, but when it comes to full moon, the control becomes a little harder for him. So far, he has managed to isolate himself every full moon. And he said that when he's not given temptation around him, he is much easier to control. He's not yet lost his control during a full moon. But in the most recent full moon, about 2 or 3 weeks before, while Apis was locked up in Lucifreak's lair, or just after, he took himself out into his usual isolation in the woods to let the fox roam free. But unfortunately, he came across the path of two traveling elves, elves that you had just freed from Lucifreak's grasp. He lost control of it, having seen the temptation right there in front of himself, in the middle of the forest. He sees sentient people, and so he gave chase. He attacked them. He thought he'd killed them, but upon investigating the crime scene in the Fair Woods, you discovered that he hadn't killed them, but he'd very badly maimed them, at least one of them. You hunted this elf out and discovered that he had survived his initial attack, but he was most likely cursed as well. Mosh is very keen on helping Belladel, the elf, through this ordeal, having been through it relatively recently himself and knowing how terrible it is. He doesn't. He feels terrible guilt about having inflicted that on somebody else. And so you have set off to help Mosh in whatever way you can, to alleviate himself of some of this guilt and whatnot. Belladel, you have spoken to and discovered that he does not want help. He is very proud and very arrogant, to the point of racist elf. He does not like anybody outside. He's very self-sufficient and does not like other people very much. Least of all dwarves and humans who meddle in his affairs and offer him help where he's not asked for it, sort of thing. Whether Mosh will accept that or not is another story. We're getting close to present day. As you went back to tell Mosh of what you discovered from Belladel, you found that he had been captured by a couple of hobgoblins who believed him to be a demon. The hobgoblins, upon giving fight, one of them fled, one of them was captured alive. And upon interrogating the hobgoblin that you'd captured, you learned that they were demon hunters. They were out in the Fair Woods, south from the Great Expanse, where there was an entire hobgoblin legion, a goblinoid host, whose job it was to fight back the demons that were coming from a portal nearby, a demon portal. So, if the hobgoblin is to be believed in all he said. If the hobgoblin is to be believed in all he said, there is a demon portal nearby spewing forth demons. The hobgoblins are the first line of defense, and they have recently allied or attempted to ally with the elven villagers. Arachel has kept that information from the other elves, it seems, just telling them what they need to know basis, like, hey, Wingloffow, we need you to make some more armor for us and some more weapons, and Dobbin, you need to create some more potions for us. And in keeping this information from the other elves, they've possibly kept the elves in the dark about the real threat to come if there are in fact demons coming south. The hobgoblins have warned that if the demons do override their defenses, then the hobgoblins will be forced to migrate to the south and overtake, or join with, or assimilate with, or conquer, depending on your point of view, I suppose, the elven town, and maybe even further south into Shadridge. So that's where we are in terms of the story. We are standing in Wingloffow, entrance hall in the cave, and we are talking with the Wingloffow guards about what's going on. We've got the hobgoblin in tow, who has just exposition dumped all he knew about the demons and such. I didn't mention Mel. Mel is a companion of ours. She is a giant bee, a wee giant bee. She's about the size of a potbelly pig, and she has leather armor because she got that made while we were captive with the Green Dragon in order to come and save us. Good on you, Mel. All right, so that's who you're going to be playing today. You're going to be playing Apis Hive, a Hildwarf Ranger, out to help as many people as you can. You're a Horizon Walker. You understand about portals and different planes relatively well. Hi, so this was a recap of the Apis story so far. When you've caught up, you can join us live over on twitch.tv/RobertHartleyGM.